Because he is alive, you and I live, don't we? For in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. Good to see you this afternoon. We have visitors with us. Glad to have you. Feel comfortable as you make your visit, knowing that you are among friends. Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Nice to be together on this, the last worship service of the decade. On a personal note, let me express my personal appreciation on behalf of my family and I for everything that you've done to go out of your way for us. We're privileged to work with the finest people on earth. Appreciate your support. Like Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, we thank you for your fellowship in the gospel. Couldn't do this without you. For all your prayers on our behalf, your words of encouragement, kindness, means a lot. Appreciate that so very much. Look forward, if the Lord will, by God's grace and your help, working together in the next decade. Hard to believe we're getting ready to cross the threshold into 2020. And we look forward to the opportunities that the Lord will open for us. We're confident that as he's blessed us in the past, that he'll be with us going forward. As Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me," Philippians 4:13. With him on our side, then we can't we? I want to talk to you for just a little bit this afternoon about the topic projected, people in a hurry. You ever see anybody in a hurry? Have you lately? Have you said maybe that fellow looks like he's in a hurry? One thing that stands out in a study of the life of Christ is the fact that people were in a hurry to see the Lord. In Mark chapter 6 and in verse 33, the people saw them departing, and many knew him. That is, they knew Jesus. And the Bible reports they ran afoot thither out of all cities and outwent them and came together unto him. And then as you read on in the chapter in verse 54, when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. And ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. If you'll circle that word ran, it impresses upon our mind that these people were in a hurry. Yes, they were in a hurry to see Jesus. I just wonder if we'd been living at that time, if we'd been in a hurry to see the Lord. That got me to thinking about some people in this book who are in a hurry. I want to share that with you this afternoon. I want to talk to you a little bit about some who are in a hurry to practice hospitality. I believe Abraham was in a hurry to do that back in the book of Genesis chapter 18. The setting finds the Lord appearing unto him in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes, and what did he see? Three men stood by him, and when he saw them, notice what he did. The Bible says he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Here's a man who is in a hurry to practice hospitality toward these strangers. He said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. A little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves on the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." Now put yourself in the place of his wife. What would have been your response if you'd been Sarah when Abraham hastened in the tent and said to you, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says she obeyed, calling him Lord. What would you have called your husband? I've often wondered that. Thought about that. What would you have called your husband if you'd been Sarah? And notice again these people in a hurry when it came to hospitality in verse 7. When Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched the calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Can you see these people in a hurry making preparations and provisions for these unexpected guests as an expression of their hospitality? The New Testament reports in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 on this, "Be not forgetful to do what? Entertain strangers." That's what was doing in the book of Genesis chapter 18. they were entertaining strangers. And he said, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That's a good description of Genesis 18. The New Testament enjoins upon us as Christians hospitality practicing. Like in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, when he said, be not forgetful, or rather, be given to hospitality. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, use hospitality to who? One to another, without grudging. You ever get in a hurry to do that? Do you do it at all? Need to get about that, don't we? Don't forget to practice hospitality. But then another setting where I find somebody in a hurry is when Aaron was in a hurry in Numbers chapter 16 to make atonement. In Numbers 16, if you recall the situation, Korah and some other people with him had led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, God's appointed leadership. They accused them of having taken too much upon them. And Moses turned the tables on them. He said, you take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi, verse 7. And as a result of their rebellious spirit, they were swallowed up. Remember the opening of the earth, when in verse 32, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. All the men that appertained unto Korah, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. The next day, the people got to complaining about that. They said to Moses and Aaron, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Verse 41. That caused a plague to ensue. In verse 45, the Lord said to Moses, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. Moses instructed Aaron in verse 46, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly, time is of essence, unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. Look at what the Bible says now in verse 47. Here's somebody that's in a hurry. Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. People were dying because of this plague, because of the fact that they had been complaining. You've killed the people of the Lord. And as a result of Aaron in a hurry to make atonement, the Bible says he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. And they that died in the plague, 14,700, just shy of 15,000 people, lost their lives in addition to all the people that went down into the earth when it opened up. That tells me that when atonement was to be made, it was to be made quickly. They had to do that in a hurry. They couldn't dilly-dally. They couldn't procrastinate. Aaron couldn't say, one of these days I will. When I get around to it, I'll think about it. No. Whenever atonement needs to be made, and sin has always demanded atonement, we need to do that in a hurry. Folks in the New Testament came to learn that atonement today is by Christ, Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. We have received atonement through Jesus. He stands between the dead and the living today. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14 and verse 6. And I, in the book of Acts, understand that folks saw the need of being in a hurry to do that. Just like in Acts 2, 40 to 43, when the Bible says that the same day they were added unto them. They didn't wait till the next day, the next week, or the next month. And the jail keeper in Acts 16, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And you and I need to see the importance of doing that before the candle goes out. But also, let me suggest to you that when I start to think about people in a hurry, I thought about a fellow who was in a hurry to face a giant. Remember David? In 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know, a lot of people on that occasion were dismayed and afraid when there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, 1 Samuel 17:4. About 9 foot tall, 9 inches. And he defied the armies of Israel. the Bible says in verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I expect there are some who are running away from that. You know, when a giant comes up that they have to face some big problem, there are folks who want to run away from it. David didn't do that. He ran toward the problem. He ran toward this giant. 1 Samuel 17:22, he left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army. Would you have done that? He was in a hurry to get there, wasn't he? Would you have been? Thinking about what lied before? And in verse 48, when he put his trust in the Lord, you remember he had said, "The Lord, He will deliver me, and with five smooth stones, a shepherd's bag, and sling, he came to Goliath in the name of the Lord of hosts." He said, "The battle is the Lord's." And in verse 48, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Here he's in a hurry. I don't know about you, but that might have been difficult to do, right? I could see somebody maybe running away from that, or just kind of slowly, very carefully, if he went at all, to go toward this giant. But the fact that he ran toward the Philistine tells me that he is in a hurry to face that giant. And as a result of that, the Bible says that he prevailed over the Philistine. What a great and grand story that was. But also, when I consider people in a hurry, in the book of Luke chapter 15, I think about being in a hurry to receive a sinner. You know, in Luke 15, the Lord was criticized by the Pharisees and scribes. They murmured. They said, "This man receiveth sinners." Remember that? Luke 15, 1 and 2. When all the publicans and sinners came to hear him. And they should have been thankful for that. I know I am, aren't you? The fact that Christ receiveth sinful men. Well, they found occasion to complain about that, and the Lord then took advantage of the opportunity to talk about three lost things: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, right? And in the story of the lost son, you remember the story, don't you? How the younger of two sons asked for his father's inheritance, and he left and wasted it in riotous living. He got so low he's eating what the hogs were eating. And he came to himself. He got to thinking about how good it was back home. He had a generous father. He thought about how his father had servants that had bread enough and to spare. And he said, "I perish with hunger." And so he resolved, "I will go to my father and I'll say, 'Father, I've sinned. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" So he went home, came to his father, and he carried out those intentions. I want you to notice in verse 20, Luke 15, 20, that when he arose and came to his father, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Here's a man who is in a hurry to receive his boy back, his son. Here's an individual who's in a hurry to receive a sinner. You come back to say, "I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." The father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to be merry. See how he ran? How he's in a hurry to receive his son that had come back? Contrast that with the elder son. He wouldn't even come in, would he? He heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants, asked what these things meant. He said, "Thy brother has come. Thy father killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." His anger, he would not go in. Isn't that something? His father came out and entreated him. Here you got the father who's in a hurry to receive his son, and the elder brother who wouldn't even go in when he knew what was happening. Which are we more like? No doubt the attitude of the elder brother would characterize the scribes and Pharisees who are complaining because the Lord receives sinners. And yet the attitude displayed by the Father surely characterizes our Father in heaven, who, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1 and then verse 9. And we ought to be eager and willing and ready to receive sinners just like Jesus. Those who want to make their life right with God, who have the humility, the courage, think of what it would have taken for Him to come to the terms to say, I have sinned. And we ought to be in a hurry to receive people like that. We need to make it easy for them to do that. Some places they make it so difficult that you wonder that anybody ever want to come to the Lord. We need the attitude of the Father. I have sinned, and He ran to meet Him. People in a hurry. How about you? I'll tell you another setting where I find somebody in a hurry. I find a fellow who is in a hurry to see Jesus in Luke chapter 19. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? We sang about him in our little kids' class, right? A wee little man climbed up in a sycamore tree. The Savior for to see. He's passing by that way. Luke 19 and 2 says that he was chief among the publicans and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. What a wonderful example to find somebody who was wealthy and who was prominent, who wanted to see the Lord. It's hard to find people today sometimes who are chief in different positions, who have much interest in the Lord. And even among the wealthy class, some think that they are fine like they are, don't need anything or anybody, and don't have any need for the Lord. But here is a man, though he was prominent, though he was wealthy, sought to see Jesus, who he was. But he could not for the press. He even had press problems back then. The reason, because he was of little stature. And the Bible says in verse 4, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Can you see this wee little man who was wealthy and a tax collector, chief, running in a hurry? I say, what's he in a hurry for? Maybe going after somebody for taxes. Trying to collect some money. What's he in a hurry about? He's in a hurry to see Jesus. And here he is climbing up into a sycamore tree. You ever see a sycamore tree? You never seen a sycamore tree? You can see one. We can show you a sycamore tree if you've not seen one. Some states don't have them, I guess. But there's some around. And I think of that story every time I see a sycamore tree. I see Zacchaeus climbing up in that tree to see the Savior, don't you? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste. Just as hurriedly as you see him climbing that tree to see the Savior, he's hurrying to get down there because Jesus is coming home. Imagine having the Lord in your house. Here, the Lord said, I'm coming down to your house, to abide at your house. And the Bible says, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, though, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Well, that sinner, Zacchaeus, said to the Lord, Lord, the half of my goods I give the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Pretty good business, wasn't it? And Jesus said unto him, this day, today, listen to these words. Suppose the Lord had told you this. Is salvation come to this house? For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a beautiful story. About a man who was in a hurry to see Jesus. And Jesus came to see him and brought salvation to his house. Would you have run to see the Lord? But then finally, and you might think of some others who were in a hurry. How about a man who was in a hurry to preach Jesus? I'm thinking with you now about Philip in Acts chapter 8. When in verse 26 he was instructed, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said, Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. How would you have responded to that? Would you have gone? Would you have moped along? Or would you have done like he did? Verse 30 says, Philip ran. He was eager, wasn't he? In a hurry to get to the eunuch. After all, he's riding in that chariot. If he doesn't get with it, that chariot's going to be gone. Going to miss his opportunity. No telling how many opportunities might pass us by in a given day because we're not in a hurry to seize the opportunity. But he ran. And he knew where to start because he's a good listener. You ever thought about the fact you have two ears and one mouth? Wonder why that is. Maybe we need to do more listening than we do talking. I need to learn as a teacher that I need to listen to people. He heard him read. He's listening. Evidently, he's a good listener. And because he was listening, he heard him read, he knew where to start, didn't he? He opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, Acts 8:35. And so here is a man who is in a hurry to preach Jesus to a fellow reading the scriptures in his travels. And as a result of his being hurried to teach and preach Christ, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. And you know the rest of the story, don't you? He stopped the chariot. They went down both in the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, he baptized him, came up out of the water, and he went on his way rejoicing. That never would have happened. You'd never read any of that if the preacher wasn't in a hurry to get to the man that needed to be taught. And so I learned from that I need to show some enthusiasm. I need to be eager. I need to be in a hurry because time is of essence. It really is. We need to learn to be in a hurry when it comes to spiritual things. Some people are just dilatory, lackadaisical. And in James chapter 4, 13 to 14, remember, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so I need to be in a hurry to get done what needs to be done, right? If you've not come to the Lord, do that. Hurriedly, quickly. Don't let the sun go down on you. And last evening, sun is sinking low, isn't it? Sinking low. A few more days and we must go. So if you need to obey the gospel, now's the time. Having heard it, believe it, and obey it. Just repent of your sins, make the changes you need to make. Some maybe more than others. Confess your faith like the man in Acts 8. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we'll baptize you. We can do that within the hour. That's your desire. And you can go on your way rejoicing. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel. Like the one we read about in Luke 15, the younger son, you've sinned. You need to come home. You need to say, Father, I've sinned. Would you do that quickly? Be in a hurry to do that. While we stand and sing the song, won't you come?